Turn with me, please, to Psalm 50. And the title of this message, and I don't talk about this that much, the title of this message is Cling to Him. In Psalm 50, the Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. What is Zion? Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Zion is us. Zion is the church. Our God comes and does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around him. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. I'm going to read that again. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge who? His people. His people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds, for every wild animal of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the air, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and all that is in it is mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High, or honor your vows. Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, now this, remember, he's talking to his people. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. You make friends with a thief when you see one, and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your kin and slander your own mother's child. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one just like yourself, but now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this then, you who forget God, or I will tear you apart, and there will be no one to deliver. Those who bring thanksgiving as their sacrifice honor me. To those who go the right way, I will show the salvation of God. That's a pretty hard word. It's a hard word, and it's a hard word, and it's a great word. It all depends on what you and I, the people of God, how we are walking. This is either terrifying or fantastic, depending on where we are walking. Now, let's turn to Revelation. Don't worry. I'm not going to read everything in Revelation. But there's some interesting things in Revelation. So to start off with, John sees this vision of Christ, and then Christ begins to speak, right? So this is Christ talking, and I'm not going to read everything that he says here, but what I am going to read are the conclusions at the end, because there's a warning here to the churches. The warning is coming from Jesus Christ himself, right? So we're going to start in chapter 2, and this is to the angel of the church of Ephesus. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance. I know that you cannot tolerate evildoers. You have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them to be false. I also know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for the sake of my name, and that you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then from what you have fallen. Repent and do the works that you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this is to your credit. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Let anyone who has an ear to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches, to everyone who conquers, I will give permission to eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. Who were the Nicolaitans? Very briefly, the Nicolaitans, they believe, we don't have a whole lot of information about them now, but what we believe is that since this was in the church of Ephesus that's being written, Ephesus had a very prominent temple to Diana. One of the Christians that was saved at the time then backslid, most scholars believe, Nicholas, and was telling the people, look, God loves you anyway. You can still continue to do all these things over here. You can worship over at the Temple of Diana, which, by the way, and eat the food that sacrificed at the Temple of Diana. To eat the food that sacrificed in the Temple of Diana, you have sex with temple prostitutes, so you're defiling yourself in there as well. So what Jesus is saying here to the people is basically remove yourself from what is going on around you. Remove yourself from the practices of those around you. And remove yourself from the practice of Christians who have fallen into this worldly mindset. You with me so far? And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your affliction and your poverty, even though you are rich. I know the slander on the part of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Beware, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have affliction. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let anyone who has an ear to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches, whoever conquers will not be harmed by the second death. To the angel of the church of Pergamum, I know where you are living, where Satan's throne is. That sounds familiar. Yet you are holding fast to my name, and you did not deny your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one who was killed among you, where Satan lives. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teachings of Balaam. This is one of the reasons why we think that their Nicolaitans were doing what they were doing, because Balaam led the men of Israel astray by introducing them to worldly Midianite women and caused them to worship false gods. You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the people of Israel so that they would eat food sacrificed to idols and practice fornication. So you also have some who hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Repent then. If not, I will come to you soon and make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Let anyone who has an ear to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. And I will give a white stone, and on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. I want you to also think about, follow this pattern. One of the things that Jesus is doing with all of these churches is he's given this pattern of declaration over the churches. This is where you are. This is what you're doing right. This is what you're doing wrong. This is how you fix it. But he also ends with all of these. It's a personal, like one-on-one thing at the end of all of these things. To the one who. So it's communal, but it's also very, very personal. Jesus is talking to us individually here. Right. And to the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love, faith, service, and patient endurance. I know that your last works are greater than the first, but I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel who calls herself a prophet, and is teaching and beguiling my servants to practice fornication and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her fornication. Beware, I am throwing her on a bed, and those who commit adultery with her I am throwing into great distress, unless they repent of her doings. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am the one who searches minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. To everyone who conquers and continues to do my works to the end, I will give authority over the nations, to rule them with an iron rod, as when clay pots are shattered. Even as I also received authority from my Father, to the one who conquers, I will also give the morning star. Let anyone who has an ear to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To the angel of the church of Sardis write, these are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have a name of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is on the point of death. For I have not found your works perfect in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Obey it and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Yet you have still a few persons in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. If you conquer, you will be clothed like them in white robes, and I will not blot your name out of the book of life. I will confess your name before my Father and before his angels. Let anyone who has an ear to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these are the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut. Who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. There's a lot of talk about works here, isn't there? From Jesus' mouth? Deeds?
Yeah.
I know your works. Look, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but a little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but are lying, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word of patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. If you conquer, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. You will never go out of it. I will write on you the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Last one. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the origin of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white robes to clothe you, and keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. I reprove and discipline those whom I love. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. To the one who conquers, I will give a place with me on my throne, just as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has an ear to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The incredible thing to me about all of that is no matter what the churches are doing right, there's only one where he's pleased, fully pleased, right? There's only one where he's fully pleased, and they're still undergoing suffering, but they are standing upright in the midst of the suffering. All the other churches, even though there were things, except for the hot and cold one, the lukewarm church, every other church, there were good things, but I have this against you. These are the things, but I have these things against you. At this time, this is leading up to the destruction of the temple and the absolute destruction of the nation of Israel. 70 AD, the temple is utterly destroyed and the nation of Israel is scattered. They violated the old covenant. They were found guilty of violating the old covenant by God. A new covenant was created and the old covenant was done away with. It doesn't matter at all if anybody tells you that they're rebuilding the temple or going to start the sacrifices back in Jerusalem. It's impossible. It's impossible. because every priest that was going to sacrifice at the temple had to be of the line of Levi, and nobody knows what those genetics are. You can't do it. The way that God set up the redemption of his people in the Old Testament, he also erased. It is no longer valid because Jesus took that and he made it valid for all of us, which means that we don't have to do all of the ritual stuff that the ancient Israelites had to do, all of the normal, all the time sacrifice to cover sins. But what that has caused, I think, for us, especially in comfort, is that if everything is taken care of, then I don't have to do a thing. I just sit back, wait for God to jerk me out of this hellhole, you know, and save us all, and then everybody else is going to burn, right? That's what a lot of people think. I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be really surprised at where they're standing when Jesus does judge them. The psalm is just... the entire psalm is judging his own people. Think about that for just a second. His judgment is coming on his own people. Do a little bit of looking into the Whore of Babylon in the rest of Revelation. There are many who believe that the Whore of Babylon is the fallen church, just like the Jews fell for rejecting God's presence among them, himself in bodily form. But how do we walk? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to cling to him? Because the thing that you can see throughout those readings that we just did, or that we just read, is that God is telling his people, hold fast to me. Hold fast to the words that I have taught you. Cling to him. We have such a propensity, mankind in general, me personally, have such a propensity that if we're not careful, if we feel like we've done something wrong, or if we feel ashamed, we avoid any contact with God because we fear his wrath, right? But God is saying that's foolish childishness. Cling to him is the only way to escape his wrath. Cling to him and follow him. But what does that mean, follow him? What are we supposed to do? What is it that we're supposed to look like? Well, I'm glad you asked. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. That's judgment. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. Who is the light of the world?
We are.
We are. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. If you want to know what Jesus expects from his people, from his churches, read Matthew again. Read Matthew 5 again. And that's a difficult thing to do because the world's understanding of power and strength and might and intelligence and wisdom, etc., 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 is all completely different than God's. My ways are not your ways, and yet we continue to think in our ways instead of his ways. We are entering into a time where God is calling his people to wake up in this country, I think in others as well. But in this country, for sure, God is calling his people to wake up. The people in this, the Christians in this country, or those who identify as Christians in this country, have been far too silent for far too long, and they use the excuse of, I don't want to be judgmental. Listen, nothing in this said anything about being judgmental. Everything that Jesus said is all about what he wants you to do, not what he wants them to do. If I have a problem with your salvation, guess what? I have a problem with my salvation. Because my focus is not on him, it's on you. If you have a problem with somebody else's walk, somebody else's salvation, your problem might be your salvation. Because Jesus was crystal clear on how much we are to judge one another. Ain't much. But he's also crystal clear on what we are supposed to do internally. Paul said, I flay my body daily to bring it under submission, because Paul understood 100% that our flesh is wicked and our flesh fights against us. Let's go to the end of Matthew chapter 5 real quick first. Let's start with verse 43. After the end of all this, where he's saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, the meek, the humble, etc., at the very end of the chapter, in chapter 5, beginning of verse 43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How many times have I prayed for those who persecute me this week? How many times have you prayed for those who persecute you this week? But why am I supposed to do that? Verse 45, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's our goal. Our goal is perfection. Jesus Christ looking perfection. That's our goal. That's impossible. Well, then take it up with Jesus the next time you pray. And if you ain't praying, then you're not going to get the answer. Last scripture reference. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's start in verse 31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, so that they may be saved. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. There is absolutely no question scripturally. There's no argument against scripturally our pursuit of Christ-like perfection personally. Me and you, one at a time. There is nothing in the scripture that says that we're not supposed to do that. There are way more examples of the scripture that says what we are supposed to do. Now, beware. Beware. Be careful when you stand lest you fall, right? If your life is going great, if your spiritual walk is wonderful, and you're not experiencing any kind of trial or tribulation whatsoever, that means that the enemy has no concern about you, which should concern you greatly. The enemy knows what God's going to do to those of his people that he judges, so he's not worried about those people. The ones that the enemy is worried about are the ones that are making advances into his, what he sees as his territory. The ones that the enemy is worried about are the ones that are killing off his foot soldiers. The ones that the enemy is worried about are the ones that are doing what Christ said. But be careful when you stand, lest ye fall. If you feel like you're doing a wonderful job and everything is going great, be careful when you stand, lest ye fall. Because overconfidence is often that wedge that the enemy uses to get in there. If you have defeated something in your life through Christ, something that's been an ongoing thing, and you've been healed of that and you've been delivered from that, oftentimes the next temptation is to begin judging others for doing the exact same thing you've been forgiven for. And then opening yourself up to the very same judgment. We are being called to stand. We are being called to fight. We're being called to scatter the enemy. But we don't do that the way we think we do that. We do that by listening to the words of Jesus. And I'm going to read those again. I didn't lie. It's not a new reference, it's just the same reference again. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for the same way that they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It's not complicated. It's just hard. Because what it requires for us to do what Christ would have us to do is laying down everything that we cling to and letting him purify us in his fire. If we try to purify ourselves, it will always fail. Anybody ever tried really, 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 really hard to stop doing something that was really hard to stop doing? By yourself, how easy is that? Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Now, it is also, one last thing. It is also impossible. It's also impossible to walk the walk that Jesus tells us that we are required to walk It's impossible to do that if we don't spend time praying and reading the Word. It's impossible to do it on your own. It's not hard to do it. It just takes commitment. It takes about 10 minutes to do the daily office. Nobody does the daily office. It takes 10 minutes to do that at a time. Now, if you do it right, you do it like 4 or 5 times a day. But it takes 10 minutes. I promise you, you spend more than 50 minutes on Facebook or watching television or whatever, promise you. I know that because I am the same way. I mean, I have the same proclivities, right? But here's the thing that I have discovered in my own walk that is kind of fascinating, is that once I got into the commitment, the habit of spending time in the Scripture all the time and praying even when I didn't feel like it, but continuing on, what I discovered is that there will come those times when you have missed it for the morning or whatever, you got up late, you had to go and you missed it, and now for the rest of the time until I get into the Scripture, I feel desperate, like I've missed something. There's something that God is speaking to me in the Scripture that I have missed. Because that's what happens when I am in the Scripture, is that He speaks to me. I hear His voice. I see what He thinks. I see how He is. I see what He tells me, and I see what He requires of me. If I don't spend that time in the Scripture, I'm completely ignorant of all of that and lost, at least for the day, struggling, floundering, and lost. And so what I would admonish everyone today, we are going to be coming into a time soon where it should be obvious to everybody, every single person that has been placed in authority over us in this nation shines the spotlight to us that they are not worthy of our trust. There is only one who is worthy of our trust, our honor, our respect, our love. There is only one. That doesn't mean that we're not supposed to pray for those in authority over us. We are. He told us, He admonished us to do that too. But what if I hate Him even more, that you're supposed to do it? That doesn't mean that you hate your enemy. Like Jesus said, you've heard, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say, love your enemy and pray for them. 12 men changed the planet. 12 men changed the planet by doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Exactly. And they followed Him all the way to death. Some of them brutally, most of them brutally. Followed Him all the way to death. But I will say this again, that's one of those things that tends to scare Christians in the United States, right? The whole idea of martyrdom. You're going to die anyway, aren't you? I mean, we're all going to die anyway, eventually. Do you think maybe in the hindsight of eternity that the thief on the cross doesn't bless that day above all other days of his life? The day that he was nailed to a cross beside Jesus? You think maybe, with the hindsight of eternity, that his testimony is that that was the greatest day of his life? We don't think about things the way we should. Cling to him. And I would say cling to each other. God loves you, but he also loves that person right there. He also loves that person right there. Once we come to that place of humility and meekness and repentance that Christ began his ministry by saying, repent, 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 for the kingdom of God is coming. Repent, repent, repent. Well, I don't feel like I got to repent for anything. Repent for that. Repent, repent for the mistakes the church has made. All through history. Repent for the church and then ask God to redeem it. Yes. And he's going to start with you. He always starts with you. He always, always, always starts with you. Any time that you feel like, well, as soon as the church does this, then I will, go back to the bench. Leave your ammo, clear the field. Because we don't need you. Because you're not going to be useful. Think about that for just a second. Jesus said it to all the churches. He was pretty clear. Go back and read what he's warning the churches about right before massive destruction, where he judges his people. Walk out your faith with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean fearing everybody else. That means fearing the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, the good news is that he loves you. As much as you may love your children, that earthly love that you have, that parental, motherly, fatherly love that you have for your children, as much as you love your children, and I know it's a lot, it pales in comparison to the kind of love that God has for you. Which is incredible to imagine. But it pales in comparison. How dare I slander someone that God loves more than I love my own children? Be very careful about what you say and about whom you say it. Please. Because judgment follows. As soon as we judge others, we are judged again by the same standard that we have used to judge others. Everybody above us in authority in this nation is a hot mess. And they are the hot mess that God gave us. All authority is placed there by God, right? Everybody is a hot mess. And if we put our faith in any of them, we are putting our faith in the wrong thing. Every day, every morning, every night, we should be clinging to our Father. If you fall, get back up and cling to Him. The secret to salvation is get back up and cling to Him after every fall, because it'll happen. You'll make a mistake. Sometimes you'll make a mistake that you don't realize was a mistake until much later, and then you feel terrible. Fine. Repent and turn and go back to clinging to Him. Amen? Please stand.